Welcome back to Capstone News Now. I'm your host, Jordan Laporta. So the immigration debate has kind of taken the presidential race and the political culture in general right now by storm, in part led by GOP frontrunner Donald Trump. But several other candidates have started to, in reaction to him, espouse their own policies and what they believe should happen at the border and elsewhere with regard to that. So joining us to discuss this very important issue is Dr. George Hawley, a professor here at UA's Political Science Department. Professor Hawley, how are you doing today?
Very well. Glad to be here.
Thank you very much. So there's lots of claims being thrown out by both sides of this debate regarding immigration. I just kind of want to set the record straight as best as possible in terms of statistics and different pieces of argumentation that are being thrown around. So one common trope that is being put out there is that Mexico is a big problem. Mexico, as Donald Trump said, is sending us their worst, and that's where a lot of people are crossing the border and coming into this country illegally. So are the majority of immigrants actually coming from Mexico, or are they coming from somewhere else?
Mexico is certainly the largest source of immigration to the United States and has been really for many decades. So I would say that claim is true, though we have seen over the last 10 years or more a dramatic increase in the number of immigrants that we've taken from Asia and from Africa as well.
And so recently, President Obama also enacted some executive orders regarding immigration from several countries that are dealing with almost refugee crises. They're fleeing gang violence in parts of South America. So do you feel that this kind of immigration that's coming from Central and South America, as opposed to the one that you just referenced from Mexico, do you feel like that's getting enough attention? Do you feel like that's a significant enough of the immigration inflow to cause a problem? Or what are your thoughts on that specific issue?
Well, certainly last year we saw that we were seeing numbers beyond what we had the capacity to deal with in terms of the number of refugees and especially young people who are crossing our borders, saying the immigration crisis from Central America in 2014. And I imagine that we're still dealing with many similar problems today. And to a certain extent, it was just an issue where we didn't have the infrastructure in place to handle such a significant number from countries south of Mexico. And we have not resolved all these problems yet.
So another piece of the puzzle that is kind of thrown out there, particularly by people on the right, is that a lot of these immigrants that are coming in will work for low wages and they are, quote, taking American jobs. You have economic nationalists from everyone from Donald Trump to even Alabama's own Senator Jeff Sessions, who was present at the Trump rally, saying that these people are coming in, they're taking American jobs, they're driving wages down. What is the truth, if anything, to some of those claims being made?
Well, that's a very difficult question to answer with a lot of precision because there's a lot of variables to weigh. However, I will say that they're not 100% wrong, but you have to be thinking about which specific sectors of the economy you're looking at. George Borjas from Harvard, for example, I think has done some very compelling work showing that for people at the lowest level of education in the United States, those with just a high school degree or below, that their economic prospects have probably been hampered by the recent mass immigration. When it comes to other sectors of the economy, it becomes more questionable as to whether or not immigration has had a detrimental effect, however, and some would argue that its effect has been beneficial for other workers. But there is a case to be made that the economic prospects of the least educated Americans have been harmed, at least a small amount, by mass immigration.
So now, an argument that those on the left will make to counter the one that I just posited is that some of these jobs that are being filled by these migrant workers are jobs that, quote, Americans don't want to do or that they won't take. Is there any data or any type of a way to discern if that is true, if that claim by those that kind of support more favorable pro-immigration policies is accurate?
Well, I don't know that that's necessarily even a left-wing argument, because that's an argument you'll hear more often from business elites, for example, making the case that, well, we couldn't fill these particular jobs doing this particular work, but now because we're able to hire somebody from Mexico or some other country that's not the United States, we now were able to fill those jobs and do so without charging an outrageous, without paying an outrageous amount of money. And there probably is some truth to that as well, that there's every year you hear stories about a lack of workers to fulfill some certain agricultural task, for example. So there's an argument to be made in that case as well, certainly.
Now, so the point that you just made, that the argument I brought up about jobs being unfulfilled by Americans, the ones they don't want would be taken by these migrant workers. I used the term left-wing to describe that, but you said that's not necessarily true. And now I've heard you mention before that immigration is an issue that kind of creates weird coalitions, odd bed partners, if you will, in the political system that don't necessarily correspond with the typical left and right. Can you describe how organizations that typically might be associated with conservative or liberal causes might actually be on the same team when it comes to getting the immigration policy they want passed?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, if we think about some of the groups that have been most vocal in the push for a generous immigration policy, generous in the sense that we would give out a lot of immigration spots to those who would wish to come here, all groups that are typically considered part of, I guess what you could call the Republican electoral coalition, or the, on the political right. Think groups like the Chamber of Commerce, business elites, people like, for example, the Koch brothers, et cetera, generally line up with the left when it comes to the issue of immigration. And the same would be true of most of the major libertarian think tanks. When you think about places like the Cato Institute, for example, is generally in favor of progressive immigration policies, such as a pathway to citizenship for undocumented immigrants.
So while we're speaking of kind of more liberal or, in this case, I don't even know what to call it, just kind of the coalition that's in favor of more pro-immigration policies, a term that you have that's thrown out that's kind of seen as the boogeyman for Republican candidates, they never want to be associated with this word, is amnesty. Amnesty is a bad word. It's political poison if you were running for president as a Republican. Can you kind of explain what amnesty is and historically what the role it's kind of played, especially when Ronald Reagan was president? And there's a lot of confusion surrounding exactly what that term means because it's thrown out so often people just kind of almost brush it aside at this point.
Well, amnesty is a term that is usually attributed to any policy that would grant legal status to a significant percentage or all of the undocumented immigrants within the United States. Historically, the largest quote-unquote amnesty, I'm just going to go ahead and use the term for the time being, occurred in 1986 when a bipartisan agreement between President Reagan and Democrats in the House, and I believe it was still a Republican-controlled Senate, struck a deal that was supposed to permanently resolve the undocumented immigration issue in the United States. And what the policy did was it did grant an amnesty for a significant percentage of the undocumented population in America, and it would also put into place, or was supposed to put into place, a large number of safeguards that would keep a significant number of undocumented immigrants from ever coming to the United States again. For example, a number of very strict rules that would keep employers from hiring undocumented immigrants. So the logic being that if you were to cut off that economic incentive, cut off the ability for them to get jobs, they would stop coming. And this was intended to be sort of the ultimate solution to this problem. However, what ended up happening, of course, was that the amnesty was applied, but the enforcement provisions never were. Most of them were killed by the courts or simply just never implemented. So we ended up getting an amnesty, but no new policy that would actually reduce undocumented immigration in the future. So as an end result, we ended up seeing a larger increase in the number of immigrants than was clearly intended as a result.
So just one last question for you, doctors. Do you see, given the current political climate, some type of comprehensive immigration reform coming anytime soon? I mean, anytime soon being, I don't know, a year or so. Do you see that that's something that could be feasible, or is this something that's kind of just going to keep dragging along for a good while?
It's not going to happen before the 2016 election. I'm quite confident about that. That being said, I've been quite confident about things before and been wrong before, but I would go ahead and bet money that we're not going to see a policy on the table before 2017. That would get at least not a major policy, not a policy that would, for example, provide a pathway to citizenship for current undocumented immigrants.
Dr. Hawley, thank you very much for your insight. We appreciate it. Very valuable.
Oh, thanks for having me. Have a good day.
You too. That was Dr. George Hawley of UA's Political Science Department talking about the facts and myths of the current immigration debate. Really great talk. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Capstone News. Now, on the other side of this break, I will be talking about my experience at the Ted Cruz event that was hosted right here at the University of Alabama just last night. You're listening to Capstone News Now.